This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Hello again. I'm back with the second of four, looking at the question, is there growth after crisis and trauma? My answer to that is, yes, absolutely. But it depends. This program is specifically looking at, can I do anything for myself to myself? In other words, what can I do to take care of myself through all of this stuff? As before, as a way of prefacing my remarks, I want to remind you that our behavior after a crisis is to a large extent dependent on our behavior before a crisis, and the type of crisis and trauma and the extremity of the crisis and trauma, how difficult it was, has a big bearing on how we do. But I think there's still hope. Generally, remember that if you were doing well, in other words, if you were healthy, had good friendships, and your family system was doing well, and you weren't troubled by things like anxiety or depression, which impacted your daily living, you probably are going to do pretty well. You might even be able to pick up after a period of time where you left off. But it all depends, again, remember, on your living situation, the degree of safety you are in, the network of friends and family that you have. I want to look at two things today in particular, hope and goals. I think hope and goals are absolutely essential to your own self-care. So, how is your hope? Is that a bad question? Well, not necessarily, because I think hope is essential. The degree of the expectancy of something working out is absolutely essential to navigating through some of these down times or dark times. What can make it better? What can make hope better? And who do you need to help you with your hope? Those are very important questions. What can make hope better? Well, I think for the first thing is you can increase your own sense of hope if you are able to find people around you who are being hopeful as well. Just as misery loves company, good feelings love company as well. If you surround yourself with people that are overly anxious, demanding, bitter, hostile, guess what? There's a chance if there are more of them or a bigger intensity than you have, you will go their direction and not vice versa. So surround yourself with people who may have some hope. How do you find that out? Well, you have to talk to people. You have to be around them. Have a meal with them. Find out their story. Ask them to tell you their story about what happened to them. Are they focusing on the negatives? Are they focusing on the hopeless things? Or are they focusing on the hopeful things? If you can find those kinds of people, that will be very important. So other people play a very important part in helping you get back your hope or maintain your hope. But what do you do inside? Well, once again, I think the self-care aspect of that is to look at your previous pre-crisis and trauma lifestyle. What made you feel better? Eating well, sleeping well, reading, a devotional life that was regular and consistent and growing. All of those things may have vanished and you may need to stick them in. Now, doesn't that sound a little weird that I would say that nutrition has a part of hope? Well, I think it does. If you are eating well and getting rest and healing, etc., that's going to necessarily make you more hopeful. Your devotional life is extremely important. What are you reading? Are you focusing on passages of scripture that deplore the human condition? Maybe you need to focus on some more positive and hopeful passages. I'm not saying that you can't learn from all passages, but what I am saying is, once again, where you dig a hole is where you're going to fall in. And I'd rather have you digging a hole, so to speak, in an arena that is more hopeful. I want to talk about goals right now. How do you feel about goals? Hopeful? Good. Enough kidding aside, I think the ability to understand, develop, manage, and achieve goals will really help you as you try and make progress and grow after crisis and trauma. I think importantly, you need to set realistic goals. What is a realistic goal? Well, a realistic goal is first and foremost one that is based on reality. Secondly, it's based on the current conditions, or it takes the current conditions into account. And thirdly, I think a goal needs to have small steps within it. Sure, you need an overarching or overreaching goal that kind of summarizes your whole life over the next few years. But at the same time, you need a small goal that you can look back in a short period of time and say, aha, I am making progress. One of the first tasks in looking at a goal is to describe the behavior that you're feeling right now. I guess you could say I'm focusing on emotional goals right here in this example. An example of an emotional goal description would be something like this, quote, I have been waking up in a sweat most nights reliving my traumatic experience. This has been going on for too long. I've decided that I'm going to do two things. One is I'm going to talk to one of the crisis counselors, or at least I'm going to set up an appointment to talk to one of them this week to talk about what this means and to see if they have any help for me. The second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to have my Bible by my bedside with a flashlight open to the particular passage of Scripture that I find so comforting. And when I wake up in a sweat, all I have to do is reach over there. Sure, I have that Scripture memorized, but in the middle of the night, in the sweat, I don't always remember very well. End quote. Now, that's an example of a small goal that had two parts. You notice that it was based on reality. The description of the behavior was very clear. I've been waking up at night in a sweat. I didn't go into great detail describing my anxiety state or anything. You can do whatever you want. But it's based on reality. It's based on the current conditions. And there were small steps, two small steps. One is going and making an appointment. That may be as simple as making a phone call. It doesn't have to be with a counselor. It can be with somebody else. But the point is getting someone else's input. The second small step dealt with the spiritual, emotional. And I think that's very important. Each one of us has a whole library, if you will, of scriptural passages that we can quote or that we can reference in getting through life effectively. The problem is in the middle of some of these things, in the middle of the night, our memory sometimes fails us. And I'm not here trying to program in failure. I could say memorize it, hide it in your heart. Well, that's true. And that's a biblical example. But if you don't need to do that, have it there so you can read it. Sometimes we need the extra activity of grabbing the Bible and holding on to it for dear life and reading it. Read it aloud if you have to. Try and memorize a little bit that night. I will tell you what you'll notice. You'll notice that your focus is off of the anxiety you were feeling, and your focus is on the Holy Scriptures. I think that's a good emphasis to have. I think that's an appropriate thing for us to focus on. Post-traumatic growth can be largely up to you. Sure, there are many things that go on that we have no control over. But the choice to grow instead of to continue to be stressed and to continue to be out of control and continue to let your circumstances dictate to you, that choice can be yours. Maybe it'll feel like it gets ripped away from you the next time the traumatic event happens. Whether it's an earthquake the next time the aftershock comes, or if you're in the middle of a civil disturbance the next time you hear sniper fire. But the point is that you can choose again and again to make the positive choice, to make the choice to grow. And as we've discovered, growth is a mix of people and me and the Lord. That great combination there is not going to do you wrong. Talk to you next time.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.